Motherhood is hard. One second, we think we're doing a good enough job, and the next, we feel like the worst mom on the planet, which is why we need the refreshing truth of the gospel to be repeated over and over, giving us hope in the everyday moments. So, Mama, whether you're sipping cold coffee or doing a sink full of dishes, we hope you'll find truth, encouragement, and laughter here. This is the Risen Motherhood Podcast. Thanks for joining us. Well, hey guys, and welcome to another episode of Risen Motherhood. I have my sister-in-law, Emily Jensen, here.
Hey guys.
And I'm Laura Wiffler, and we are doing a long-awaited show for all of you today. We are going to be talking about discipline. This is something that I feel like, Emily, we get a question about, I don't know, once a week, it feels like.
Yeah.
Quite a bit. You guys are... understandably so, I have so many questions about discipline, but the problem is we have the same questions. And so we have avoided doing this show because we feel like we're still figuring this out and we don't have the answers and that we're sort of asking the same questions that you are. And Emily's oldest is 4 and a half and mine is 4 next month. And so I feel like we just feel like we're not super deep down this road with, there's not the proof in the pudding that we can say, hey, we did this and look at how wonderful our children are. And so, yeah, I think that's what's been the hang up or the slowdown, but we're excited to tackle it from sort of the gospel, like the high level side of things. So it'll be less on the practical, but really just general truths about discipline that you can apply right now and hopefully encourages your heart and encourages the way that you discipline, even if that's a little bit different from the way we do it or another mom.
Yeah, and we're right there with you. Probably one of the reasons a lot of you guys want to know, like, how do I discipline my toddler, or how do I get started on discipline, or what resources do I look to, is because there are just so many varying opinions and strategies out there, even among people that are very respected and very strong in their biblical knowledge and very gospel-centered. Even among that, you know, small niche of people, you'll see a variety of different opinions. And I just also think it's one of the hardest things. I mean, there's a lot of hard things by the time you get to discipline, but when you get to discipline, when they're like, I don't know, 1 and a half, 2, it just feels like you are on shaky, earthquaking ground and you have no idea what you're doing.
Yes. I think all parents, that's when you feel it with the newborn for sure. But then you start realizing like this stuff like legit matters. Like what I give my kid to yeah. eat, like they're going to survive if it's the wrong thing probably. But you are like this deep heart issues. You start seeing their sin really in your face. And so you're feeling really uncertain and a lot of fear, I think, and very, very, very insufficient. So I think that is, it's just a moment that every parent comes to where they're just on their knees.
Yeah. So we are there with you. We are in the constant trenches every day, with preschool and toddler age children. Laura and I are, it is constant. We know. So today we wanted to we're going to start by just really quickly defining what discipline is, just so we're all sort of talking about the same thing. And then we are going to actually just go through, this is going to be a little bit different than the way we've structured other shows. We're just going to go through the gospel, the 4 parts that we talk about on most shows. We aren't always really explicit about it, but we're going to try to be really clear and talk about how those parts of the gospel apply towards discipline. And then we're going to try to just give you, we'll lob you like 4 strategies. Jeez, maybe you could apply or just examples. So to start, we wanted to make sure, again, we're all talking about the same thing when we're saying the word discipline. And one of the places in scripture that I think, at least for me, clearly helps define that is Hebrews 12 verses 3 through 11. So we're not going to read all of that for you. We'll provide that verse link in the show notes. But mainly, at the end of that passage, it talks about that God reserves discipline for his sons, for his children, and that he disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. And it talks about how for the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but the fruit of it is righteousness for those who've been trained by it. So that is what we are talking about today, that kind of discipline.
Yeah, my parents made me memorize that, actually almost exactly what Emily was sort of talking about there, that second half of the passage. They made me memorize that when I was in a particularly rebellious teen years. And I remember I just hated it because I was like, ugh, God says this.
This is for my good. I know. So those are the things we wanted you to just pull out really quickly, is that biblical discipline is proof that you are a child and not an outsider. It's going to be painful for the moment, but it's ultimately for the child's good. And the point of it is to train children in holiness and to point them to the gospel, which is what we are chatting about today. So,
yeah.
Okay, Laura, should we fly over this gospel stuff?
Okay, so we'll start with creation. And basically, as we all know, God is the creator of all things. He has authority over all. We give him all power, and he deserves all of our worship because of what he did. And so, you know, he gets to decide right, and he gets to decide wrong. And he also gets to decide how we operate within those boundaries. And so he created us for and to have relationship with him. And I think that's huge. You know, he always desires relationship with us, and our purpose is to give him glory in everything. Application with this, Emily, I guess we set standards as parents based off of God's command. We also have things that are for safety of our children, therefore them to function socially and culturally. And then we also set standards based off of God's commands and his principles that he has given.
Yeah, totally. And I think the main idea is just, like, you know, in discipline, like Laura said, there isn't this relative, hey, however you feel is how it's okay to treat people. Like, whatever you feel like morality is or the good thing is okay for you. You know, we say, no, God has given clear boundaries and standards. And we are going to, as parents, in whatever the circumstance looks like, hold you to that. And we'll kind of get into a little bit more how that can kind of mimic God's law. And that's part of telling our children and setting that standard, because as we talk further, we'll see that kids are not going to be able to do it.
That
becomes a really good gospel pointer. But that's for creation, yeah, showing our children they're to image him. And one super practical takeaway is just to start when kids are very, very young. I mean, even as young as 2 years old or younger, mm-hmm. giving really simple commands like, come, you need to come to mommy, and expecting them to do it right away, or telling them stop. We like to use the word freeze because stop seems to be something they're deaf to. So just little simple commands like that can be a really easy early way to establish it.
Yep. And moving into the fall. So I think this is like a huge one, because every day we see the fall in our homes and ourselves and our kids. And we all know that you cannot uphold God's commands. Like, it is impossible to do it. We are born sinners, even from infancy, even that tiny little newborn that is sleeping beside you in the co-sleeper. They are born sinners. And so we sin in ways when we know the good that we should have done, but we didn't do it. And we also sin sometimes when we take an action, but whether or not we knew it was against God's law, it can still be sin against God or against others. So we can't be good on our own. That is what that means. And so the law shows us our need for a savior. It shows us our deep sin and just how we need someone to come and redeem us. So tons of application in this section. I mean, in all sections.
But. Yeah. And one thing I always remember here is that I want on my kids to experience the feeling of the fall, you know, and their sin, and that feeling of, wow, I just really can't do this. Like, I cannot obey mommy and daddy every time they ask, which is a biblical standard for children. Imagine that. Like, that's, I mean, we've all were children at one time, but that is like a huge bar to try to measure up to. Like, every time mommy and daddy tell me something, I have to do it right then. And anything less than that with a joyful heart is sin.
Exactly.
And just all of those things. I mean, things like seeing their sin in their heart, like they're not able to share. They're not able to love or express love for God. You see the selfishness in their hearts, and we point that out to them. And so I think that In the past, I kind of have viewed this of, oh, this is the really rotten part of discipline. Mm. And it's like, no, this is the part where we're different from the world and we get to show our kids, you are desperate for a savior. So
yep.
Don't overlook this part, moms.
Yeah. And I think it's important. Like, these are the spots where we can say to them, yeah, you aren't able to share with Johnny on your own, mm-hmm. but with Christ, if you trust in Christ, and we'll get to that, but like, just to recognize that, like, yes, it's hard for me to hold my temper and it's hard for you to hold your temper. Like, we are both fallen in this because we're human. And so to be able to kind of unite and agree in that, of that area of fall, and to both feel sadness over that. And I think that this is understanding, like, this sadness and the relationship severed between your child and God as you speak with them. I think that this is an area where children truly see, if they truly see that they can't uphold the law and understand that deep within themselves, eventually that's what's going to create a child that loves God out of an overflow of what he did for him, yes. rather than just like some moralistic Pharisee or robot. That is a key. It's a linchpin, I think, that like Emily said, is makes us different from other people, because this is the area that we really need to show them to grieve over and to understand that, like, their own willpower isn't going to get them through mm-hmm. it.
Yeah. And so a super practical takeaway, as we're trying to take that from a little bit the theory for you guys, this is kind of the aspect of discipline where there are consequences for sin. And those in a child's life can play out things like going to time out, or there might be some natural consequences of, like, you spilled that or you broke that, and now we're going to sit and clean it up.
Mm-hmm. Or you're not. Which takes five times as long.
What?
When you make your kid clean up their own spilled milk, it's like, it's a consequence for mom too. But it's good. It's good. But I'm always like, oh, it's going to take forever.
I know. This is, yeah, something like spanking or losing a privilege, or sometimes in a non-shameful way, a verbal rebuke of just a very firm, no, you may not do that, or whatever the wording is. There is a variety of strategies here. This is what we're not going to get into. This is where the water goes so deep, we can't even begin to talk about it.
Exactly.
But, yeah. Whatever it looks like, going back to that Hebrews verse, it's going to cause the child some pain in some way.
Yep.
And that is okay, because that's what's going to point them to the next part, redemption.
Okay, redemption, our favorite part. Well, restoration too. I feel like they're both obviously wonderful. So this is where, as we all know, Christ came and he paved a way for us to be reconciled to himself. Because we can't do it on our own. We failed. We cannot keep the law, but Jesus kept everything perfectly. Therefore, his sacrifice on the cross was absolutely perfect. And the only way that we can get to God and to have relationship and commune with him is through Jesus Christ and his death mm-hmm. on the cross. And this is a free gift. And so no one can boast in it. No one can say that they did something to receive it, because this is a free gift that Christ gives out of his love and grace for us. So I think this is obviously where the gospel just, like, dun, 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 is like just beautiful. And it just comes in, and it just, if you know, like, at times, like, I will be talking to my child and my voice can even change, you know, like, from talking about sin and the fall. And then, you know, we bring in Christ's love and his mercy and what Jesus has done for us. And I just feel like, if I'm really believing that and jiving with it, which doesn't happen very often, I'll be honest, but, you know, like, I can just feel it in my soul, like, the warmth that comes. And so that's where we teach them about the consequences and their natural sin and the barrier that it places between us. And so you can do this in conversation with your kids, of talking through, hey, here is the hard truth. Like we were saying earlier about the fall and how you cannot do this on your own. But if you trust in Christ, like, then you have access to these things. You are able, your debt has been paid for at the cross. You are forgiven. You know, you are able to be reconciled to not only God, but to your friend or to mommy or to whoever it was that you sinned against. I don't know. I think that this is just the part where I, as a parent, like, really see the gospel played out, not only for my child, I want to show him and point them to Jesus, but also for my own life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think this is, as in terms of practical takeaways, I think this is exactly exactly like what Laura was saying, when appropriate, and it's not going to be every single time they send. You are going to, I think, if you are desiring to do this and you are in tune with the Holy Spirit, He will lead you in moments where you will see your child feel really broken over their sin, not just like, I want to go back to playing now, and that may not be the appropriate time to talk about it. But when they're really broken and you get to come in and share the good news of the gospel with them and pray with them, hug them, make sure every time after discipline happens, you are reconciling with them, which shows that I'm going to forgive you because Jesus forgave mommy. And we don't keep accounts here because God does not keep accounts with those whom He has forgiven in Christ. And those are just really great ways we can display God's grace. And so then there is the restoration part, which we've kind of gotten into a little bit, but kind of just the truth being that now, you know, once we place our hope and our faith in Christ, we are living for something bigger than ourselves. And I know sometimes people will talk about talking to kids in terms of like the negative of like what you don't want to do. And we do that sometimes, but also teaching them that they are a part of this bigger story, that their lives are meant for a purpose. And that purpose is to glorify God and to lay down everything and follow Jesus with bravery and courage and, you know, all of those exciting things. And to help children catch a vision for that is kind of the point.
Yeah, this is the ongoing work of discipline that I think both Emily and I, it's children who can talk, they all profess faith, you know, and it's like super exciting to feel like, oh, they can talk about this stuff. But, you know, we also want to continue to not assume that they're saved. I mean, even, you know, we still talk to each other as like, hey, trust in Christ, you know, I believe, help my unbelief, Lord. Still talking to our children about what the gospel has done for them, reminding them that they need Him constantly. And just remembering that, you know, just because you're saved, maybe you have an older child who you feel very confident that they are saved. But just because your child is saved doesn't make you necessarily less sinful. You know, it just really means that you're forgiven. And so we're constantly a work in progress. So to talking with our kids and having those conversations about, hey, this is who you are in Christ, or this is who God wants you to be if you trust in Christ, to be kind and patient, gentle, loving, all of those types of things. This is, we've had shows about this before, but of like kind of teeing them up about, this is the behavior that we strive to have as image bearers of God. It's not always the no's, like Emily said, of like, don't do this, don't do that. But it's about what He has called us to be and who we are in Him and how the Holy Spirit really empowers us to live out a life that follows Christ.
Yeah. And what that can look like practically, this is a little bit something you want to do first on the front end, but yeah, it's kind of cyclical, but it's just to be teaching your children, training them in those practical skills. You can think of it as training in righteousness of, in low stakes environments, how do they share? How do they say please and thank you? How do they show mommy and daddy respect? How do they follow the household rules, whatever those look like? So it's giving children intentional training, because that is what God does for us in His word. That's what God does for us in our lives. We want to pass on that same courtesy to our children to image the gospel. And so, yeah, the main thing today is we just want you to know that, like, this really matters. Laura and I are like, oh, we just really want the takeaway to be like, this is so important to communicating the gospel.
Even though it is stinking hard. I mean, we are with you on flubbing it up, messing it up, knowing we didn't do it right, feeling like sometimes we take action that maybe we take too much action. Sometimes we don't take enough action. You know, we don't weave the gospel into every conversation. We're definitely not those kind of perfect people who are able to see every sin and then zap them with the gospel. You know, don't think anything greater than we are. We are in this with you, and that, like, just know God commands us to discipline our children. This is a major aspect of your role as a mom and your husband as well. And it's not popular these days to discipline your kid. You know, it's super like, just let them go and do whatever they want. Or a lot of times too, we just teach them morals, like we were saying, of just the no, no, no's. But when we really strive to show them their need for a savior and their the deep grief over their sin, I think that is what in the long term, when they see their true rebellion, they are going to understand the beautiful grace that they have access to. So don't shy away from discipline.
Yes. Okay. Well, we know we left you with like a billion practical questions about how that looks in real life. So we're going to hopefully, you know, as time goes on, continue to flesh this topic out more. We will try to provide some resources for you on our show notes at risenmotherhood.com. And as always, you can also find us and more information and resources on social media, on Facebook and Instagram at Risen Motherhood and Twitter. So yeah. Thanks for hanging in there with us today, guys.